whoever living in poverty, because I did hear you say earlier, Mr. Kwamishan, that there are a number of pockets of poverty in Barbados, and that may be true, but I don't think it is good to say wholesale that nothing is being done.
Not enough, Simon. I'm not saying nothing, because I made the point that basically has been Barbados' traditional approach. But I'm saying, if we are saying that in recent times, there has been this intensification of, let's call them troublesome communities, then we should have seen a commensurate response to that challenge with new and enhanced social intervention programs. That's the point I'm making. But generally, yes, that has been Barbados' general approach. We have gone the road of, you know, the social, the education, the health, community development of all people. That's the strength of Barbados. Yes. But if we are saying that in recent years, these greater challenges have emerged, then I want to see a commensurate stepping up. Stepping up of those kind of social intervention programs.
All right, just gone 1 o'clock. Let's take in another caller. Good afternoon, and welcome you on the air. Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Brass. That Sunday, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Is this Mr. Lane?
Yes, it is.
All right, Mr. Lane. Good afternoon to you and your panel. And for the benefit of the panel who may not know me, this is John Kelman. I've been listening to the situation there, and I want to say something. I could say something for the balance of the evening, but I put it in some points so that you can leave it with you and you can discuss it. First of all, point number one. We know that prevention is better than cure. Point number two. Medicine is never taken for its taste, but it is taken for its therapeutic value. Point number three, a therapeutic amputation is far more prudent than toxemia. Four, necessity is always the mother of invention. Five, if you know only a hammer, you'll treat everything like a nail. Our police officers are far more professionally adjusted than just to run willy-nilly. But no police in this country would come to John Kelman's residence looking for drugs. I am telling you, and I am not the only person so privileged.
Excuse me, sir. The police came to David Commission's house looking for guns. And I have never even held, probably outside of a courtroom, lifting up a gun as piece of evidence. I've never even held a gun in my hands outside of that scenario. But the police, and that was where they required a search warrant. So much less when you don't require a search warrant. So don't make those categorical statements.
But all right, but what I'm saying is this. I would want to bet you, Mr. Commission, that they had to leave and realize that it wasn't warranted.
But that's after the fact, caller.
They've already done the search.
But do you believe that they got up and dreamt that we better try Mr. Commission? Things like that will happen. But that is not going to affect us in any way. Without keeping up any more time, I am in full agreement with the prospective legislation, but it should have been discussed before with the citizenry. I think so. But I think that if we would realize that Barbados is a crisis-oriented situation out there, a lot of what is happening now would not have happened. I was born in this country, and I am afraid now to go certain places.
And I think it is that fear that is really driving this type of response. It's funny, I want to read this from the vice president of the Barbados Association of Professional Social Workers. And it says, as a society, we are fighting the wrong battles as it relates to finding solutions for the many social issues among youth. The solution articulated by some are to strengthen police powers, lock up parents, and the list goes on. Social workers play a critical role in finding solutions to mitigate or lessen the instance of rebellious or violent behavior due to our unique approaches. However, we are constantly overlooked and mistaken for other professional disciplines or simply seen as someone who gives out handouts to the poor. Unfortunately, this phenomenon has been perpetrated by gross ignorance surrounding the profession of social workers. I understand clearly that information is critical when it comes to decision making. So that's probably an opposite view from someone in the same profession. Let's say good afternoon, though, and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
And to your guests. I just had my hand on the button of the phone to press out after listening to Mr. Kelman. Because Mr. Kelman was so clear. I mean, I don't even understand how Mr. Commissar could bring up he being searched and things like that. For Mr. Commissar to be searched, somebody had to give the police some type of information that lead him to that.
Sir, Mr. Kelman was saying that he would never be searched because he is a law-abiding citizen. Oh, he has a reputation. So I was making the point that you cannot have those certainties because there are many instances where people have been searched wrongfully. Mm-hmm. So that's the only point I was making.
But we understand that. But I mean, he was making a point that I know you understand. You don't have to repeat it. Let's move on, though. I have three little questions for you because I'm running out.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead quickly.
Mr. Commissar, in court, do a witness, male or female, have to answer the lawyer, the magistrate, or the judge ever question is posed to them?
In a courtroom situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, a witness has to answer, but a witness can refuse to answer if it's something that's going to incriminate them.
And they also opt to be witnesses.
And they also have a lawyer next to them.
They have a choice to become a witness.
Mr. Commissar, I asked a question. I don't want no ice cream on it.
You don't like the answer that you get? Ask your second question.
That answer that you just give me is the witness could refuse to answer.
If depending on the nature of the question, the witness could, if the answer is going to incriminate the witness, I think the witness has the right to refuse to answer.
Okay.
In general circumstances, the witness will answer the question or will be required to answer the question.
I ask you that question because I heard you earlier give the impression that I am on my way home. And for whatever reason, the police have the area surrounded off, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the impression I get from you that if police, by receiving the orders from the commissioner of police, could stop me, and I have to answer whatever the police have.
Yes, you do. That's what the law says, sir.
So are you saying...
Have you read the act?
Wait, just a minute, Mr. Commissar. You were talking all the time.
I'm just trying to put you right.
Just let me put what I want to put. Let me get to my point. You are saying to me, Mr. Commissar, that we got to get rid of the persons who is responsible for drafting legislation in this country? Are you saying to me that the commissioner of police, because of this new legislation that is being implemented now, that the commissioner of police have more power than a master or judge?
Excuse me, sir. Let me explain to you, please. Let me explain
not
to you.
Too long, long.
The Act says that where a cordon is established, that it is the duty of members of the police force, in addition to any other duties or powers granted to them, to require a person to answer any questions with respect to the motor vehicle accident or the incident of serious violence. So in other words, once you are within that cordon, the police have the right to question you about the incident of violence that led the cordon to be set up in the first place, and you are obligated to answer the question. Now, excuse me, please. Now, we have something called the judge's rules, right? The judge's rules tell you that as soon as a police officer has ground for suspecting that you have committed an offense, he has to caution you and he has to tell you, you are not obliged to say anything unless you wish to do so, but what you say may be put in writing and given in evidence. So I'm saying, now that's a very serious protection that the citizen has, that the police are even... required. This act takes away that in these circumstances.
Mm-hmm. All right, caller. All right, let's move on. Brastat Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to everyone. David, this is Ms. Curtin. This is Charles Morris.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
I want to start give you all a quote that I use every year in my sixth form. And here's how it goes. The best way to take control over people and to control them utterly is to take a little of their freedom at a time, to erode their rights by a thousand tiny and almost imperceptible reductions. In this way, the people will not see those rights and freedoms being removed until past the point at which they cannot be reversed. You know who said those words? Anybody know who said those words?
No.
Adolf Hitler.
That's where my mind was.
Adolf Hitler. Now, I am a bit disappointed at a lot of the responses this morning, because what I'm getting again from these, in fact, this act and a lot of laws that have been seen passed recently, is to make Barbadians into criminals. It is that colonialist attitude where, you know, the laws were placed to deal with slaves, not the rights and responsibility of the people over the people, over human beings, but the slaves shall not do this, and they're into that again. What we need to be doing is really looking at the causes of crime. And I'm disappointed that Simon, as a teacher at Combermere in sociology, did not look
You're disappointed that I am not a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party. That's
to be looking at the causes of crime.
Let me be real, Charles. You are disappointed that I am not a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party like you.
Oh, foolish.
You can't be saying that you're disappointed in me.
I think Simon was... No, I think Simon... I think Simon...
I'm not looking for the accreditation of Mr. Charles Morris. I want to make that abundantly clear.
Man,
I'm not looking for his approval.
Listen, I...
So go ahead, Charles. Don't bring me in it.
I'm saying that I'm saying
all right, one at a time.
At the causes of crime.
Must be crazy.
Not, you see, it's okay to say those in the lower classes commit crime. Okay. But we are talking about statistics. Why?
Show it.
Why? Why is there crime in Barbados? That's what we're looking at. Question. The same thing happens in the church.
But we know why there is crime. We know.
Sinful. And I don't see the sinful people in Barbados. But we should talk about justice. Now, if we are going to look at crime, look and see what is happening. A state, no, in fact, let me put this up front, that we in the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union went to the Ministry of Education on a quarterly meeting that came after 18 months, and we tried to deal with this. This was one of the major issues. One, the relationship between the union and the BSTU. Two, crime in schools. The Ministry of Education dismissed the whole thing and came with a 5-point agenda taken from our 16-point thing. So if you do not want to address the level of crime, the crime from the level of the ministry and the school, right at the very beginning, how serious can you expect people to take a legislation that impinges on this right? We need to look at the causes. Is it because we're having... is it because Barbados have a serious disregard now for law and order? Is that example taken from right at the top? Is there social rebellion in Barbados going on? I mean, I've got enough time. Others are going and going. We have to look at where the real causes of crime, where they are. Not just tell me that lower class people commit crime. I was a lower class man. I still am. And I don't commit no crime. So we have to look and see, and we're not examining these issues at all. What are the reasons for crime in Barbados? I have noticed that, and I believe in symbols, that one of the things that we have done is destroy that symbol of respect for teachers in Barbados. The moment you took the teachers and you disrespected them and cursed them and everything in the society.
In the presence of the students, too?
In the presence of students. What are you saying? That there's a lack of discipline from the very beginning in the schools. So look at me, tell me all this thing with crime and this kind of thing. Look and see what we are doing. That some of the five people who are supposed to be leading us are creating a situation. In the church, too. Don't think it's one part. In the church, are creating the situation for criminal activity in Barbados. Isn't it true that somebody, I know you all may cut me, but is it true that something, there was some talk about guns in Parliament?
Well, that's nothing. That's public knowledge. Yeah. Public
knowledge. Yeah, that's public knowledge.
So there, I am saying all of these things are going on. And if the example is going to come from the top, what else do you believe? We got to ask ourselves, too. Do the authorities believe that there's some social rebellion going on? Because this is legislation for some kind of upheaval. Is it then, therefore, that Barbadians are not coming out and going on the streets as in 1937? Or is it that they're doing all they're attacking the system? Are there changes in the system that need to be made?
All right, Reverend Morris, I want you to bring it home. Closing statements. The producer have given us a couple of minutes to allow everyone to have their final words. So please, you go.
Rather than enacting a legislation that is going to erode the rights of people, and we have had several pieces of legislation that are slowly taken away the rights of our people, we need to get to the root cause.
Okay.
And I do believe that that's not the only responsibility of government. All of us have a right to.
But I just mentioned it.
Y'all have to battle it out at school tomorrow. But thank you, Reverend Morris. Simon Ali, can we have your closing comments, please?
If you come to school, I will battle.
At the end of the day, I do believe. Charles, all right, man, no problem. But I think at the end of the day, this is good debate. This is good debate. No bad blood there at all. Mm. I think that the reality of it is that we are looking towards a safer Barbados for all citizens. That's the main thing. However, I can agree with Ms. Thurton as well as Mr. Commisson that it is important that in the pursuit of making Barbados a safer place for everyone, for children, for parents, everyone, we have to make sure that laws that are passed do not infringe on the rights of citizens. However, we cannot be, naive and think that crime in Barbados is not being organized. It doesn't have an organized base. In some instances, we do know that gangs exist and so on. So it's important that we have, or should I say, the police have the powers to do the job that is necessary. But it is a balancing act because we have to get crime down, but at the same time, too, we cannot infringe on the rights of citizens.
All right, thank you very much, Simon. Very good. Get your name on a ballot paper so I can give you a vote, man. Go ahead. Let's start it.
Yes. To my mind, this legislation needs certainly to be reviewed and reconsidered. It's important that a proper evaluation be conducted to determine whether measures of this nature are absolutely necessary or whether we can simply use the current powers that exist in a more effective and efficient way. If it is determined that circumstances require this type of power, then I consider that it is necessary to ensure that the law is reframed to ensure that there is adequate oversight in terms of the determination as to when this power is to be exercised, essentially by a committee, not just the minister, but a committee that takes into consideration all of the relevant stakeholders, the prime minister, the leader of the opposition, the Bar Association, all other stakeholders that would be relevant to this to this exercise, the Chief Justice and so on, so that there's a full determination that it is necessary to exercise the measure. And finally, that whatever is implemented takes into consideration oversight, accountability, and appropriate measures for compensation for persons who are negatively affected by its operation.
I would just like to say to Barbadians that our country is in danger, and the only thing that is going to save Barbados is an assertion of people power, of the people of Barbados understanding that this country belongs to them. It does not belong to any elite political class. It does not belong to the 30 people in the House of Assembly. And I'm appealing to the Barbadian people. Insist on your rights. Insist on your rights to be informed, to participate, to be consulted, to have a say on any significant piece of legislation that is to be enacted in this country, because it is not only the so-called experts that have opinions that are worth taking into account. You, the ordinary citizen of this country, your opinions and your views are just as valuable. And always remember that the highest office in the country is the office of citizen.
Thank you. No, someone is telling me that quote is actually attributed to Pat Miller, but we could do some more research on that. All of you on the WhatsApp and the callers, particularly those on the WhatsApp, I'm going to read those WhatsApps, and I'm sure that we'll find some in the program to incorporate your views, because many were not able to read today. But I want to thank everybody for making this program possible. I want to thank the panelists, those who would have called and so on. They're asking about, a lot of people on the WhatsApp are asking about a petition. So you know what, this is not finished right here, right now. It does not end at 20 minutes after one today. We got some more work to do in explaining and educating the public. So we're going to see how that goes from there. So finally, I want to thank Williams Industries Incorporated for making this program possible.
Because this evening about kids.
Forbidden surprise, big or small, a brilliant metals, we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Big or small, a brilliant metals, we have it all, a brilliant metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.